Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, and we'll begin reading at verse number 12. Verse number 12. At that time, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day comes that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers has laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shalt thou take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Let's pray. Father, again I thank you for the word of God once again. I'm thankful, Father, for those who've come to hear thy word. We certainly do pray, Father, for those that are traveling this evening. You give them safety. Help them, Lord. And Father, we pray and ask you to just certainly be here in the preaching of the word of God. Lord, give me the power I need to preach thy word, that we might be a blessing unto this people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was thinking as I was preparing this message, if you go over that portion of Scripture, it's a tremendous portion of Scripture and so many truths that you could go so many different ways in this portion of Scripture. But I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that Hezekiah was a sick man, and he was told that he was going to die. And so God sent, of course, Isaiah to tell him this, and we find that Hezekiah turned his face, he said, toward the wall and began to pray. And said to the Lord, he says, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. The Bible says that Isaiah, the prophet, got out into the middle court and God spoke to him and said, because of Hezekiah's prayer and also because of his tears, he said he was going to give him some extra days. And so the Lord gave him 15 extra years, told him how much longer he was going to live. We find it was interesting on up through that first part of the scripture there, that first chapter there, we find that he wanted a sign. He wanted to know, how do I know that God is going to do this? And so Isaiah the prophet said, will the shadow go forward 10 degrees or will it go backwards 10 degrees? Talking about the sun, the shadow of the sun. And he said, well, it'd be a light thing if it went forward 10 degrees. How about going backwards 10 degrees? And the Bible said the shadow went back 10 degrees and gave Hezekiah a sign that this was from the Lord. And then, of course, we picked up, it was after those sick days of Hezekiah that, of course, the Bible said they put a clump of figs upon the boil and he got well in 3 days. And, of course, that's what Isaiah had told him. But we get down here in this portion of Scripture, sometimes I wonder, maybe if even Hezekiah wouldn't have said, if he looked back on all this, maybe it'd just been better if I'd have went 15 years ago. Because Hezekiah caused some problems here. He invited Babylon, the ones that was going to come in one of these days and take Jerusalem and Judah into captivity, and he let them come in and look at everything that was in his house. And oh, there's so many things, like I say, we could preach on tonight. But the subject I believe the Lord wants me to preach on, what would they see in your house if they come in to see your house? What would they see? I'm going to just name a few things to begin, and then I want to try to be a blessing tonight, try to help families, try to help us stay close to the Lord, try to help families to build a good home, not just a house. Build a home that's honoring the Lord. I believe one of the first things that we ought to see is Jesus Christ in every home. I believe He ought to be evident. I believe when you walk into a home and been there for a very length of time, it'd be a realization that Jesus Christ resides there in that place. I also believe that there ought to be love in that home. I want to say something to you, folks. You can't get by without love. There's an ingredient that must be in every home, and that ingredient is love if it's going to be built like it ought to. And I believe that a home should be built, and I believe that when we come to that place where people would see our home, they ought to see the love of God there and people loving the Lord and loving each other. I believe also, certainly, they ought to see the Bible in our home. Not just something that lays over on the table and collects dust, but something that is used, that is picked up and read and studied. I believe it'd be a wonderful thing if they'd see the Word of God in your home. I also believe they ought to realize that that home is a place of prayer. I believe that it ought to be a place of prayer that believes in prayer. Here a while back, someone called me on the phone and said, "Brother Ross, I know your church prays. Will you pray about this matter?" He says, "I know you're a praying people." And so I'm glad to have that reputation, aren't you? I'm glad that people think we're praying people, and we ought to be a praying people. We ought to believe in prayer, and we do believe in prayer. We know that's where the answer is to be found. I believe also they should see discipline in our home. I believe our home should not be run like the world's home, but I believe loving correction of our children and see that discipline in that home, not terrible things, not beating them down, but correction and discipline in the home ought to be evident in every home that belongs to the Lord. Not only that, I think we ought to see peace in the home. I believe with all of my heart, and I've felt this for many years, it's a wonderful thing to become home and go in your house and sit down where there's peace. I want to tell you something. That's the way it ought to be. Every husband, every wife ought to have the comfort of knowing when they come home there's going to be peace in that home. They can go there as a sanctuary, a place to get away from the world. Let me say to you, you people walk out into the world every week of your life. You work somewhere. You're around people that do not love God many times. Certainly you're around some that do love God. But the home ought to be a place where you come and find the peace and comfort that ought to be there. It ought not to be a place of turmoil. Amen. Wife ought to be doing everything they can to make that a place. Husband ought to be doing everything they can to make it a place of peace, a sanctuary to come home to. Amen. I believe that. I believe also that they ought to see in that home a Christian example. I believe every mom and dad ought to be an example of a Christian that's walking with the Lord. I believe they ought to see that in their daily life. I ought to see that in their family life. I believe that example ought to be there in every home, standing, walking with God, loving God, and doing the things we ought to do. I believe those things ought to be in our home. Now I'm going to get down to a few particulars. And I want to, first of all, and I'm going to talk to both of you just for a few moments tonight. But first of all, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to, as we go through the book of Proverbs here for a little while, I want you to see there's much spoken to as far as the husband and the wife is concerned. What kind of a person we ought to be. We'll start in Proverbs, the 5th chapter. First of all, let me say this, and I'm going to talk first of all to the head of the home. I'm going to talk to him who God has placed as the head of the home. That is the husband. Hillary's got it backwards. Amen. See, Bill and Hillary have it all turned around. You see, but let me say to you, Christians ought to have their home in order. Not as again I say, dictatorship and all that, but I'm talking about a husband ought to be the leadership of the home. So I want to talk to you a few moments. First of all, I'm going to talk to you very plainly. You ought to always be faithful to your wife. You be faithful to her. That means so much to her. I mean, you be faithful to her. Let us read chapter 5, verse 8. It says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Listen, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running water out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the street. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Let me say something to you, men. We won't take a long time on this and each point, but let me say to you, you be faithful to that dear wife of yours. I mean, you be faithful. Amen. I've said it before. I think it was Greg mentioned the other day. The grass is not greener on the other side. It's dirty and filthy over there. He mentioned that because he remembered me saying that before, and he just brought that up the other day. But that's true. The grass is not greener. You know better than this if you think about it. You're seeing some woman at her very best. You don't see her in the home. See your dear wife in the home slaving and taking care of you and watching out for you and cooking your meals and washing your dirty clothes and all of those things. And then some other woman comes along and blinks her eyes at you. And all at once you think, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. No, you just haven't seen her. Amen? You got to remember something, folks. You stay on your side of the fence. You stay on your side of the fence. You have no right to go on the other side of the fence. None whatsoever. Understand? Stay faithful to your wife. Over in the 6th chapter, the 27th verse, simply says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burnt? Let me say to you, folks, you can't fool around with fire and not be burnt. Understand? Men, do you understand? Understand? Stay away. You remember to be faithful to your good wife. Amen? Always be faithful to her. Okay? You do that. Now, secondly, I want you to look in chapter 6 of Proverbs in verse number 6. It says, go to the ant, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Another thing, men, that I want to share with you is this. Be the provider that you ought to be. Now, I'm going to say some things that might aggravate some of you. I don't really know how you feel about everything. Don't make a difference, does it? As long as it's a good thing, good point, right? Doesn't make a difference. But it might aggravate some of you. But you know whether you know it or not, God gave the man to be the provider, not the woman. I know people, I know women make more than the husband. In fact, there was a man here at my church not too far long back who stood in this church maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I can't remember how long it was, and said to me, he said, we're getting a divorce. And I said, what's the problem? I'm talking about Christian folk. Say they're Christian, born again, and God's saying, say, we're getting a divorce. Said, well, she just gets out, she works all the time, she makes more money than I do. And said, she's got caught up with somebody else and all of those things, she makes more money than I do. Let me tell you something, there ain't no man alive wants his wife to make more than he does. He is to be the provider. And let me say something to you ladies, whether you like this or not, get home and raise your children where you belong. That's what you're supposed to do. God wants you to be in a home and raising your children. And you raising your children. Don't let some babysitter raise your children. You get home and raise your children. Understand? Let your husband be the provider. See, the problem is we've bought this line that you cannot survive on one paycheck. Now, we bought that line. Let me say to you, yes, you can. You won't survive as good as old Joneses. But you can survive. And God will help you, and God will do that. So the man needs to be the provider of the home. That does something for the man. That's a wonderful thing when he can go out and work and bring home the paycheck and take care of his family. And maybe you don't have everything you'd like to have, but he's doing a good job. He's doing the best he could. And you ought to encourage him and help him and be a blessing to him. Help him cut corners and expenses. Whether you know it or not, a woman can throw more out with a spoon than he can bring in with a scoop shovel if you don't be careful. That's true. I've seen it. You've got to be careful. You've got to learn to cut corners. You've got to learn to be careful with the money and what you do. And there's many things around the home. We'll preach on that sometime. But there's many things around the home that you can do to be a husband, or be a blessing to your husband, that'll help cut corners and expenses. That'll be a blessing. In that way, you are helping him to provide. Now, I'm just saying to you folks, let the husband provide. It's something very, very important to him. God put that in the man to provide for the wife and the family, you see. And that's very important to him. I know I want to provide for my family, don't you? Amen. Sure, you men do. You men want to provide for your family. That's something within you. God put that in you, you see. And you want to do that for your family. Also in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 10th and 11th verse. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now we didn't say too much about that, but up here where it talked about in verse 6, go to the ant, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. That's in verse 6 and 7. Provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. One of the things that we have, and even in Christianity today, is a bunch of sluggards. I mean, men that don't want to work. They'll do anything they can. They work harder to get out of work than they do working. They'll do anything to get out of work. You know, and you know what God said? God said, you go to the ant and look at him. That ant is busy all the time, just going back and forth, just working, gathering all this stuff while it's summertime, you know, and gathering it all together, you see. And he said, go to that ant and look at that ant. Does he sit around all the time? No, no, he's busy, always doing something, providing, you see, doing this and doing that, you see. And man ought not to be a sluggard. Sluggard simply means lazy. Quit being lazy, man. Yeah, work. Amen. Just work. Work up a storm. Do something, you see, and provide for your family. That's the way God intends for it to be. Amen. Oh, Satan's turned the thing around. You see, Satan wants you to be lazy and wants you to be on welfare checks. Now don't get mad at me. I'm not. You're on welfare check. Don't get mad at me. I'm just simply saying if it's possible, you ought to be out working. Amen. And man ought to be out working. He ought to do that. And that's what I'll teach any man that I can teach. Amen. I say, get out there and get a job. Get out here and get busy. Get working. Provide for your family. That's the right and proper way, you see, to do it. Then in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and the 9th verse, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The Word of God says if you're slothful, if you're lazy, you're like your brother, the waster, that wastes everything. You see, it's a terrible thing to be slothful. It's a terrible thing to be stamped with the knowledge that you are lazy and slothful. That's a terrible thing. Don't want to ever become known for such a thing as that, you see. Also, we find in chapter 20, verse 4, it said, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. What it does, it gets cold. He said, it's too cold to go out and plow. Then pretty soon it's too rainy to go out and plow. Then pretty soon the sun comes out, it's too hot to go out and plow. See, the sluggard always finds a reason, you see. And then he doesn't have any harvest. Why? Because the sluggard always finds a reason for not doing. He always comes up with something for not doing what is proper and what is right. And then we find in Proverbs, the 10th chapter, not only are we to be faithful to our wife and to be the provider of our family, but also in Proverbs, the 10th chapter, let me read verse 12, and it simply says, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Wait a minute, I got the wrong verse. Verse number 12, I'm sorry. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Husbands, the Bible tells us, instructs us, one special thing that we're to do in the book of Ephesians. Love your wives. Love your wives. I mean, your wife ought to know she's loved of you. I mean, that ought to be common. That ought to be just something that she knows, no matter what, that you love her with all of your heart, and love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? You know what? That dear wife of yours is not perfect, and she married somebody who's not perfect. And the thing about it is, what we got to remember is all of those little mistakes and all of those things that happen sometimes and you get all so upset about, you know, they're really nothing. I mean, when you think about it, they're nothing. They ain't worth the time spending time on it. You know, and all the arguments come from all these little things that goes on. It isn't worth a dime. It isn't worth a nickel. Just ain't worth nothing. Why not just get together and love each other and care for each other and just continue in that way? See, love will cover a multitude of sins. When you really love someone, even though that person is not always doing what you think maybe they ought to do, that love is there. You see, and it looks over all of those shortcomings that every single one of us has. Amen? See, men, we've got them too, you know. And so there ought to be in the home, there ought to be true love. True love. Then also in Proverbs 14, 14th of chapter, in the verse number 17, said, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and of wicked devices is hatred." I want to go ahead and read chapter 15, verse 18. And he says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." Look at chapter 19 and verse number 11. He says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." You know what one of the things that we men ought to be? We ought to be more patient. Every little thing that happens around the home that you don't think is right, get some patience about you. That's all that does, just stirs up anger. So what? So what your wife is not perfect? So what your wife had a bad day? So what she done this or that? It isn't worth all of that. And it stirs up anger and just stirs up strife. And boy, we're going to straighten that person out and we're going to straighten this person out. Why don't we just get real? Amen? Why don't we just do what's right to do? Why don't we just love one another? Why don't we just have patience one with another? Amen? Have some patience. About the time you think that your wife isn't too perfect, look at yourself for a little while. Amen? I do that and scares me to death. I say, "Man, why in the world did she ever marry me?" Amen? I told her the other day, been married 37 years. I said, "I don't know how in the world you ever put up with me." You know what she's so kind to do? She said, "Oh, honey, it was the easiest thing in the world." I know better than that. But she is so kind about it, you know. And all I have to do is look at me for a little while, and I understand, you see. And she's not perfect. No, she's not perfect, but who asked her to be? Why don't we love one another? Why don't we be patient with one another? There is times that husbands and wives have to talk and deal with certain things, and we need to get some communication and need to straighten some things out in our family life and all those things. Yes, we have to do it, but we don't have to do it in anger. Amen. I mean it. You don't have to do it in anger. Sit down and talk with one another. Have some communications with one another. You don't have to do those things in anger. Not only that, in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, 15th verse, I want to show you something. It says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Now look at chapter 16, verse 24. He said, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Look at chapter 17, verse 22. And he says, let me see here. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You know what we ought to be, men? We ought to be a little more cheerful. We ought to get that poochy lip off our face. Benjamin, you've done a good job on that. Wherever you're at, buddy, you've done a good job on that. I mean, you look like some of my congregation out there. Amen. I look out sometimes. Amen. Amen. Put your lip. Get rid of that thing. You know, have some cheerfulness about you. You know, my wife and I, we kid back and forth sometimes, you know, but when we kid, we make sure we know that we don't mean business. We're kidding back and forth. We have a good time. We laugh together. We ought to do that. There ought to be some cheerfulness in our life. You see, that's good medicine for you. Amen. That's a wonderful thing, you see. That's good medicine. That'll help your bones. Bible says. Amen. So get rid of that thing here. Okay? Just get rid of that old thing. All right. Anyway, let's go to chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse 1. And by the way, Brother Brewer, that was good. I enjoyed that tonight with the young youngsters. They've done a good job on that. Appreciate that very much. Chapter 20, verse number 1, it says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Look at chapter 21, verse 17. He says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Now, I'm just going to simply, I don't have to say a whole lot about this, but I want to say something. Be a total abstainer. I mean completely. Don't let that stuff touch your lips. Everybody says, "Yes, I can do this and I can do that and I don't, you know, it ain't going to get to me." You just are being deceived. You just don't understand. You don't know what's going to happen. And I'm saying to you, be a total abstainer. Never drink. Never let it touch your lips. Never let it be brought into the house. Never let it your children ever see you ever do such a thing as that. What I'm saying is just don't do that. See, it's caused more troubles in marriages than I suppose just about anything else that you can name. That old filthy drink will just do it. It gets a hold of a man, the man don't know what he's doing. I'm serious about that. Doesn't know what he's doing. A drunkard usually will do things that he would never normally do as an individual, as if he was in his right mind. He would never do it. But he gets that old drink and it causes him to do all kinds of things. That's why God tells us to be filled with the Spirit instead of be filled with wine. Amen. Be under the control of the Spirit of God, you see. All right. Now, next, in Proverbs 28, men, we're about done with this. 28, and verse number 9, he says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." I'm going to tell you this time what I want you to do, men. You ought to hear and heed the Word of God. You ought to be a hearer of the Word of God. It is proper and right for every man to stick his Bible underneath his arm, come to the house of God, sit down and hear the Word of God, and you ought to heed the blessed book, the Word of God. Men, whether you understand it or not, I've done some studies on this, I've seen people, whether you understand it or not, your wife and my wife wants us to be the spiritual leaders in our home. Why? Because it's what we're supposed to be. Your wife should not have to be the one that leads you spiritually. You should lead in the home. Now, I'm going to also turn to chapter 28. Well, verse number 20 of that same chapter says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." See, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Look at chapter 30, verse number 5. He says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Once again, I'm simply saying, folks, listen, men, we need to be willing to hear the Bible, the Word of God preached, and we ought to be willing to take those truths that we learn and put them into effect in our life, apply them, application of God's Word. And that does something more the home that you probably will never understand. Whether you know it or not, and even if your wife sometimes rebels against it, your wife really wants you to be the head of the home. Yeah, most women do. I'm serious about that. They may fight against it, but it's a blessing to them when they see that their husband takes the leadership of the home, they hear the Word of God, they heed the Word of God, and they put down some standards in that home. That's what a woman needs. Amen? You say, "Brother Ross, what if my wife is rebellious and she won't do that?" Let me tell you what to do. I've told men before to do this, and it works. Turn her over to God, her knees, and say, "God, my wife, I love her. I care for her. She's unwilling to submit to me like she ought to submit to me, and I'm going to put her in your hands. You do with her whatever you need to do to straighten it out. I love you, Lord, and I want to do right." Now, don't you just try to better your position. You want to do right. You want to do right. You want to live for God. And if your wife is rebellious, just get on your knees before God, give her, put her into his hands, and I'll guarantee you he can spank her much better than you can. And I've seen it happen. Many times I've seen it happen. Shame on a woman that's rebellious. Yes, shame on her. But there's something you can do about that, men. You can do something about that. You don't have to get rough and tough with them. Just get on your knees and give them over to God. Say, "Lord, I want to live for God myself. I want our family to be a godly home. And my wife is rebellious. She won't submit to me. What am I going to do? Lord, I need you to help me. You help me in this. I need help." God will help you. Amen. All right, now I'm going to give a little bit of counsel to the wife. About time, isn't it? Proverbs 11. I feel better myself, you know. Proverbs 11, verse 22. He says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." You know what discretion is according to the Bible? It means judgment, good judgment. And it means understanding. Now, he said if you don't have good judgment and good understanding, you're like an old swine that's got a gold ring in his snout. I don't think I'd want to be applied like that to me. I don't think I'd want, but that's what God says, that a woman is without discretion. You ought to use good judgments. You ought to use some understanding. You ought to have some discretion about this and help your family. Listen, wives, don't expect your husband to do all the changing and all the straightening out. You need to do it too. There's things that you need to do in life to help your family to be a better place. Not only that, we find in Proverbs, the 14th chapter of Proverbs, first verse, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Folks, what God is sharing with us there is simply this. It is the work of the woman to build her house. Why? That's where she lives. That's where she resides. That's where her career is. That is what she is about doing. She builds the home and builds it up. But he says a wicked woman, will tear it down, pluck it down. You need to always be building the home. Do things that will build your home and will help your home be a better place. Women, God gives you the responsibility of that. I remember when we was down in near St. Louis and Pastor Jerry and I preached there and with Jeff Brady, and Dr. Robison was there. And Mrs. Robison, someone had asked Mrs. Robison, well, she travels a lot with Brother Robison, and says, well, what do you do when you travel? She says, I have one priority. My job is to take care of Mr. Robison. I thought that was wonderful. I thought, that's right. She said, that's my priority. Said, it's his ministry, but I'm just here to take care and see he gets all of his needs met. So I'm going to take care of Dr. Robison. Well, I thought that was wonderful. That's why they had a successful marriage. You see, and folks, listen to me. Wives, you ought to make your home your career. That ought to be your career. You ought to have a place that's pleasant to come into. Now, listen closely. Every home that I've ever known, every house I've ever known sometimes gets messed up. They just do. That's the way homes are. Sometimes children, you know, get to play and all that. But I'm talking about completely and fully on a regular basis. A wife ought to see to it that her home is a pleasant place to come home to. You ought to walk into a clean home. You ought to walk into a straight home. And you wives should be teaching your daughters to produce that same kind of home. Now, you may not like that, but that's what you need to do. You need to make it pleasant for your husband when he comes home. A place that is nice and well kept and it looks decent. I'm not talking about things thrown around once in a while because they just need picked up from the day. I'm talking about on a regular basis. That husband ought to come home and see a place, even though the kids has been playing around, ought to be a place that's clean and kept well. Amen. Folks, that is one of the things that is failing in marriages today and in Christian homes today, because we're not teaching the generation on down that you ought to keep a straight house. And these kids are coming out of these homes, these little girls are coming out of these homes doing the very same that their mama did, and they won't keep a good home either. And that's what you're going to do, is you're going to give that girl one of these days to an unsuspecting boy. It's the truth. You really are. And you're going to get her out of your hair, and he's going to get in, and she's going to get in his. But I say to you, you ought to keep a good home. Now, it's funny because people, if I go to their house, they say, oh, Brother Ross, you know, my house is a mess. And you know, I don't come to see your house. And I don't care if there's stuff scattered around. That doesn't bother me. But it does bother me that if you keep your home that away 90% of the time, you ought to do your best to keep it straight and in order. Amen? I believe that's the way God would have it, don't you? I believe that's an example, you see. And that sets a good example. All right, now, let's look at Proverbs 15th chapter, first verse. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Look at chapter 25, verse 11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Look at chapter 31, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. I believe something, ladies. I believe that ladies, Christian ladies, ought to learn how to be gentle. And they ought to learn how to speak in a way that is proper and right, that will keep the home in right perspective. When you begin to upbraid your husband and all of this, and your children see that, let me guarantee you that's what they're going to remember. And all it does, as soon as that husband steps in the door and you light in on him, I'll guarantee you that whole evening is shot. I mean, it's done for. Now, what I'm saying is a soft answer turneth away wrath. Amen? Now, I'm simply saying to you, ladies, learn how to be gentle. Learn how to do what the Spirit of God says over in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. A meek and quiet spirit is pleasing to the Lord. Now, isn't that correct? Isn't that what God says? A meek and quiet spirit is pleasing to the Lord. You're going to say, well, ain't nobody going to run over me. Well, you're not going to please God either. You want to displease God? You go ahead and displease God. Take it up with Him. He's the one who wrote the book. Amen. You ought to learn how to say things right and say proper things and be kind and gentle and help your husband as he grows in the Lord. Whether you know it or not, you are really an example, when you get right down to it, of your husband's spiritual height. You, the wife, many times are the one that determines that. Because you are like the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the head is the husband, and the neck is the wife, and who turns the head? Oh, I'm the head of my home, I know, but who's the neck? Amen? That's the way it is. And whether you know it or not, you have a great influence on that head, which direction he's going to turn. You know, you have a great influence. And the spiritual height that he has attained to is much going to be because of what you helped him attain. Understand? So important, ladies. So important that you be a good helpmeet and not someone that would tear your husband down. Let me just say this. Don't ever tear your husband down. I say this, should say it any time, but don't ever tear your husband down in public. That's humiliating to your husband, and it's wrong for you to do it. Don't do that. If you got something to say to him that you need to deal with, do it in private. When you tear that husband down, you say things about your husband out in public to other people, you are telling them that husband is not meeting my needs and there's something wrong with him and he needs to straighten up. And that's what people will remember. Ladies, don't do that. You be kind to your dear husband. You speak well of your dear husband. Amen? And by doing that, you will help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen? Didn't put you there to straighten him out. But you pray for him and you help him to be the kind of leader that he needs to be. You help him. You get in and help him, you see. Be gentle. Over in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, the 16th and 17th verse. 15th chapter. Says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Let us look at chapter 23, verse 17. And he says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. From those verses of Scripture, I believe that God wants a dear lady to have contentment. Now let me say something to you, ladies. There's times that if we don't be careful, whether you, again, understand this or not, your husband does basically inside, he may not act like, but inside he wants to please you. He really does. And when you talk about wanting something, wanting this or that, it's in his mind that he wants to give that to you. He wants to give you that which you want. Now listen, you need to learn contentment. He may not be able to afford all you want. Be careful of what you ask him for. He may not have the money to do that, and he's going to feel lousy because he can't meet the needs of your life. What I'm saying is be content so your husband doesn't make a lot of money. Don't run him down for that. Don't say, I wish you made as much as so-and-so. Be content with what God has given you. Contentment is a real blessing, let me say to you. Be content with what the Lord has given you as a family, and be willing to accept that. Be content. Ladies, amen? Be content. And that's a wonderful Christian character or virtue. Wonderful thing. Contentment is a marvelous thing. Also, in chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now let's look at chapter 22, verse 4. He says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Ladies, let me encourage you again to please be humbled. Please have some humility in your life. Whether you know it or not, this pleases your husband. Humility is a very important thing, not only for the wife, but for the husband. Have some humbleness about you. Don't be a braggart. Don't always talk about what you can and what you do and how you could do things better than what he could do. My wife's probably 10 times smarter than I am, but she's never told me that. I mean, she wouldn't tell me that. If she really believed that, she would never tell me. She thinks I'm the smartest guy in the world. I mean, you know. See, I know I'm not, but I mean, you know, as long as she'll tell me I am. But you see, humility, and you see, that's another thing men don't understand, or sometimes ladies don't understand. You see, a man's ego is just about 99% of him. And whether you know it or not, God puts you there to give the proper lift to his ego. You see, he expects you to. God expects you to be an encouragement and a cheerleader for your husband. Boy, my husband's the greatest guy in the world. Well, I'm proud of my husband. You know, he makes $3 an hour, but I'm proud of him. Thankful for him. Amen. You see, that's important. There needs to be some humility and contentment. Not only that, in Proverbs 21, verse number 9, says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, I'm not done yet. 21, verse 19, it says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. You see, in verse 9, we're over in the corner of a housetop. Now, over in verse number 19, we're out in the wilderness. And he said, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Now, in chapter 27, verse 15, it says, a continual dropping is a very rainy day, and a continuous woman are alike. Yep, 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 yep. I mean, just like it's raining out there, and that water's just hitting on the rock, and hitting on the rock, but it drives you out of your mind. Amen. Say, somebody shut that thing off. In all kidding aside, ladies, listen to me. Don't be contentious against your husband all the time. Boy, as soon as he steps in that door, he'd rather go up on the housetop. Why do you think he heads for the wilderness? Amen. Why do you think he's standing out in the yard when it's raining? He'd rather hear the rain than you. Amen. See, that's the truth. God said it in his word. It's the truth. So learn to be quiet. Learn to have a meek and quiet spirit, you see. In all seriousness, ladies, learn that. Really, God wants you to. Amen. Wants you to be faithful, ladies, and help your husband. You don't understand sometimes. We men are different than you. I mean, really different. I mean, we look at things differently than you look at things. And I know the husband needs to realize that too, you see. But you see, the husband's not near interested in most of the things that you are a lot of times, and vice versa. And if that's all you do, as soon as he comes in that door, you just start at him and you just keep at him and keep at him. I'm going to tell you, he's going to head for the wilderness. Amen. But there's times, certainly, that you need to help him, be a blessing, give things, tell him things that you need to tell him. That's absolutely right. But boy, as soon as he hits the door, don't do that. Let him come home to that castle for a little while. Sit down in his castle and enjoy his castle for a little while. And then there's ways to use wisdom in telling him the things that you need to tell him. And there is problems that arise, and you need to tell your husband about them. You need to straighten those things out. That's all proper. But don't be a contentious woman. Amen? You'll drive your husband away from you. Amen? Don't do that. Proverbs 31, verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, folks, God says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I want to say something to you, ladies. You fear God, you love God, is one of the greatest gifts you can give to your family. You be a lady that loves the Lord and walks with God, it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your husband. He knows when he's away from the home that you are there directing that home in a godly way and being a godly person. That's a marvelous thing. You know, a few years back, and some of you will know who I'm probably talking about. I'm not going to name no names. But a few years back, there was a church in this area, and this man was a deacon in this church. The wife never did go to church. She stayed home every Sunday and cooked dinner for the whole family. And the whole family converged on that home after church, come to eat. This went on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And that man was a deacon in the church. She brought reproach to his name because she was not a faithful person. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. Some of you may not. But I know this went on for years and years and years. She never did. She never was faithful to the house of God. But she always had enough energy to get home and cook the meal and stay home and have everybody come in. And that was dictated, buddy, you better get over there and you be there. The whole family was to be there. I want to tell you something. Wives, whether you understand it or not, you help determine your husband's not only reputation but character. Be a good wife. Be one that he can look and say, I know she's a godly person. She loves God. She's faithful, does everything the best she can to her ability to do the right and proper things that will be a blessing to her husband. Many, many husbands have went through life and their reputation and their character has been smeared because a wife would not be faithful to the not only the house of God but to the Lord. I'm simply saying, ladies, you have a responsibility to help your husbands to be what he needs to be for the Lord. Be there faithful, whether you understand it or not. We husbands love that. And we want it so bad. And we love you so much that we'll just about do anything for you. Now let me say something to you, folks. A husband feels that way. If he loves his wife, he feels that way. You understand? He feels that. He'll do about anything. Be a godly woman. Amen? Be a godly woman. Love your husband. Do the right things. Be the right things for your husband. And so that people will be able to look and say, this man is walking with God. This man and woman is walking with God. They're a good couple. God has blessed their life. You see, that's a proper right thing. What have they seen in thy house? Only you can answer that. What have they seen in thy house? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, for your goodness and your kindness. And Lord, I understand and I realize that, Lord, there's not a one of us in this room, standing or sitting, that is perfect or there everything that they ought to be. I understand that. I know that. But, oh God, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us as we live together and serve God together that we'll be a blessing one to another instead of a hindrance. Thank you for your kindness. Do with this message as you please to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen.